The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, we turn to that clock that is ticking on Donald Trump's latest deadline for the Iranians. To discuss that and the outlook for the conflict in the Middle East, I'm joined by retired US Army Colonel Seth Crumrick, who is vice president of an organization called Global Guardian. Seth, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Claire. It's great to be here. Good day.
You spoke, I know, about the 6th of April being the mark on the wall for progress on this conflict. That was a previous deadline set by Donald Trump. So where do you think we are with this today?
It feels like their sand is running out of the hourglass right now. 14 hours is not much time left for negotiations to really take hold. My concern grows with each hour. I do think that if we do not reach an agreement in the next few hours, I think there will be large-scale strikes against Iranian infrastructure attacks. And that gives me a lot of concern because it will not be contained in just Iran. Iran will counterattack across the Gulf nations, where we have a lot of clients that we're protecting and providing intelligence to right now at Global Guardian. And I am very concerned that we are about to escalate to a very dangerous place that will go beyond Iran. It will create a larger regional instability.
Okay, well, that's interesting and that is your take on this at this moment, because you have already advised, I know, clients to get their staff out, many of them, thousands of them, out of the region. Isn't that right?
In the first 10 days, we moved over 4,200 clients out of the region. And it was a very fast push because we have teams in 145 countries. So for all of our European and U.S. clients, and we have hundreds of them, we were able to move, call them the non-essential personnel, out of harm's way and get them back to Europe, the United States, Latin America, wherever they needed to go. But there's a second group that's there. It's called them the essential personnel that needed to stay in the region for business continuity. We've been working with them every day at intelligence and providing them local security. But the time is coming to where we're going to have to do a second wave of evacuations, we believe. So we're prepared. But it's definitely something that it's not just this week's attacks. We're concerned about 6 months from now, a year from now. You take this infrastructure out, it's not going to get put back together again. We don't see an Iranian Marshall Plan waiting in the wings. The day of the Powell Doctrine of you broke it, you buy it, does not seem to exist anymore. So what does this mean to the long-term future for the entire region? And it definitely has global effects.
Mm-hmm. And what does the United States achieve if Donald Trump carries out his threat and targets the power plants, the bridges, the desalination, the very essential infrastructure? Where does that take the United States?
The United States has laid out multiple different objectives over the last 5 weeks. So it's been somewhat hard to determine specifically what they want that outcome to be. I will say the one that has been the most consistent has been no nuclear capability for Iran. That's been a consistent drumbeat for a long time, from the previous Trump administration through the current one now. So I believe that's their ultimate outcome and ultimate goal, getting a deal that will prevent Iran from getting that nuclear weapon. Mm-hmm. We've heard about the missile offensive capability, the proxies, degrading all of those. I think that becomes much more difficult. But the nuclear portion is really what this is all driving to. I just hope it doesn't come off the backs of the Iranian population, though I'm becoming more pessimistic as the hours tick by.
Yeah, I was just looking back on your career with the United States Army over the years, hugely impressive, Seth. But I wonder what your former colleagues, you know, if you were in that position now as a senior member of the force, what you would be thinking as you face into what might be to come in the next number of hours.
When you get to these final hours, so prior to my joining Global Guardian 3 years ago, I spent 28 years as a special forces officer and was a Middle Eastern special forces officer. So very familiar with the Iranian regime. And the reality is the Iranian regime and I do not like each other. We have a long history. It's hard for me to be completely objective when it comes to Iran. But when you get to these final hours, you're doing your last preparations. you're going through the checklist. You understand the gravity of what's going to happen. You need to take care of your, not only your service members, but all of those partners that are there with you, and try to get the mission accomplished as efficiently as possible, so that this doesn't drag out over a longer period of time. So really, it's all about the mission right now for those that are in uniform, that are preparing to do these extremely difficult tasks.
Yeah, but do you think we're going to get to a point where there will be American boots on the ground in Iran?
My sense, and I've held to this, it's wavered a bit over the last 5 weeks, as you can imagine. But my sense is boots on the ground is still a lower percentage opportunity for the United States. And if they did, it would be something very specific, like a Karg Island or one of the other Straits of Hormuz islands that were there. When you think about Iran from a tactical perspective, it's three times bigger than Iraq. It would require, you know, at least 25 or 30 divisions, which I don't believe the U.S. is willing to do, especially when it's just the U.S. and Israel. You know, it's not all of our allies, which traditionally we've always had as a huge strength. I mean, our allies are more important than any weapon system that we own. You know, this is a very unique situation we're in. So I don't see boots on the ground, especially at scale. Mm-hmm. So this is, we're in a very interesting and different type of space and warfare right now. So I don't think we'll see it, but this is a unique time. So, you know, who knows?
And I don't know if you can answer this question, but given what you've said about, you know, knowing the Iranian regime as well as you do over your military career, did the United States need to do what they've done over the last 5 weeks?
At some point, and I'll be as diplomatic as possible on this, the Iranian nuclear program had to be addressed and frankly dismantled. I do truly believe that. There was a lot of different ways to get there. But I would say that is an outcome that all of us need to, you know, stay focused on and mm-hmm. and go. I don't think we get the luxury of deciding whether 5 weeks ago that was a good decision or not. I like to look at it as, hey, we're here now and we have to do something about it. These are the cards that we've been handed. And whether you're protecting clients like we are in Global Guardian to get them out of the region or protect them, or you are one of those military planners that's looking right at, hey, this is our chance to take this nuclear threat away from our kids and our grandkids. I think that piece of it is a necessary mission and it does need to happen. How we get there, I'm going to let the historians judge us on that one.
Okay. All right. And I know it's your diplomacy there. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable position for you to take. J.D. Vance arrived in Budapest this morning with his wife, Usha, and there are reports that he's on standby to leap into action and lead these talks that are being mediated by Pakistan. Is there any indication from your viewpoint that there is progress being made on that front?
Well, if J.D. Vance is there, I would say that's a good sign. You're not going to bring him forward, so to speak, if there wasn't an opportunity for some sort of breakthrough. So let's just, you know, in our hearts, optimistically hope that we're moving the right direction. And I say that really on behalf of the Iranian population who's stuck. They've had an extremely difficult go the last 47 years, and they're standing at the precipice of everything falling out from underneath. You don't recover from a massive infrastructure strike in frankly, a decade or maybe even in a generation. So they're standing at the brink of a true humanitarian crisis. So if J.D. Vance is there, and that was who the Iranians had requested to come in and be their mediator, then I'm going to look at it as cautiously optimistic that perhaps we can get a deal or maybe there can be an extension. You know, but when I think about all the infrastructure and desalinization plants being taken away, Claire, I would go back to what Iran looked like before the strikes happened. The infrastructure was already failing. Last summer, they had 12 and 18 hour rolling, what they call brownouts, the power being out in most major cities in Iran. Mm-hmm. And they almost ran out of water, something we haven't seen in the in modern history because of horrible water mismanagement and, of course, the climate not being helpful. That was before 15,000 missile strikes ago. So the situation obviously didn't get better. They won't recover, I don't think, in the rest of my lifetime fully, if we were to come in and destroy all 500 plants and knock out their water supply. And that, to me, what happens at that point? People can't stay there. You're going to have a migration crisis. 93 million people have to move if you can't get power and water. What does that mean from a refugee standpoint? What does that mean for a regional standpoint? And then really from a global economic standpoint. And, you know, the only thing worse than having the Iranian regime continue on is a completely failed state. Another Yemen, for example. The Strait of Hormuz will always be narrow. It'll always be vulnerable. But if you have lawless bands running around with the ability to shoot ships coming through the strait, well, you've got a real problem. So I'm hoping that we can just drive this a different direction and create stability and get the economic situation back on track for the world.
Well, the IMF has warned that all roads lead to higher prices now and to slower global growth, that we're already on that path. Do you agree?
Once prices go up, good luck bringing them back down. I think anyone that sits around the dinner table anywhere around the world with their family and looks at the latest prices and see where it goes, the one thing that you don't hold on to is hope that somehow prices will be reduced. So I think that it's one of those situations where it's a risk. It might stay inflated. I think it'll stay inflated for at least the rest of this year, if not beyond. And then you also think about, hey, this could happen somewhere else too. There's 11 major maritime choke points around the world that we study every day at Global Guardian with our intelligence team. And we have to sit down with all of our corporate clients and go, look, if this happens, if we lose the South China Sea, if we lose the Straits of Hormuz, you know, this is what it means to your business continuity. And we have to work through this with them. It's a real reality that can play out in multiple places around the world. It's not just this current situation. And if you put two maritime choke points in play and you shut them down, the rate of inflation, we would see a global, what we would consider a global recession within 2 weeks if two of those maritime choke points got shut down. So the IMF, I don't think is wrong. I think it could actually even be worse in some situations.
All right. Well, Seth, it's good to have the benefit of your wisdom and experience. That is retired U.S. Army Colonel Seth Crumrich, who is vice president of a company called Global Guard.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.